tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I'm your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 30 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. Today, we're speaking with Brianna Lovell Myers, otherwise known as Bree. Bree is the administrative director of the United Spay Alliance, a national nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting affordable, accessible, and timely spay-neuter services as a solution to the crisis of cat and dog homelessness. United Spay Alliance plays a vital role in expanding high-quality, high-volume spay-neuter programs supporting grassroots organizations and providing the tools and information necessary for anyone to increase access to affordable services in their community. In her role, Bree manages the day-to-day operations of the organization, overseeing initiatives like the Wet Lab program, which offers hands-on training in safe and efficient spay-neuter techniques for veterinarians, and administering the Community Cats Grants program, which provides essential funding and support to smaller organizations working to reduce cat overpopulation. Bree began her career in animal welfare in 2013 at Alley Cat Allies, where she worked in community outreach and event management and later continued her work with grassroots organizations as an independent consultant. She remains passionate about advancing spay-neuter as the cornerstone of effective animal care and protection. Bree holds a Master of Public Administration from West Virginia University. She lives in Maryland with her husband, son, and senior cat, Finnegan. Bree, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Hello, hello. I'm very glad to be here.
So we ask everybody this question, but I'm actually going to cycle back. Happy 600th episode.
Happy 600. Woohoo! That's a huge congratulations to you and the team. That's outstanding.
You were a hospitality cat for quite a while. That's how we first met. How we really got to know each other was having you as part of the podcast and being our hospitality cat. And we used to call you our air traffic controller and all of that. And so you were a major part of getting us here to our 600th episode. So huge shout out to you, Bree, to Kendall. And of course, a huge, huge shout out to Kristen Petrie, our technical tabby out there, who has ensured we've got all 600 episodes out there. We now have Elizabeth Finch with us as part of our team. And just huge thank you to everybody. I can't even imagine 600 episodes. It's just huge. All right. Now, focusing back in on the show, how'd you get to be passionate about cats, Bree?
Well, my passion for cats, I would say, my interest in cats started when I was growing up. In particular, I can remember my aunt and my grandmother, they lived together, and they had outdoor cats, or there were cats in their neighborhood, and my aunt had a big old heart for them and wanted to feed them and care for them, and so as you do. And so I think we got, you know, a couple of them spayed or neutered, but at the time, we didn't know anything about trap, neuter, return. We did not know anything outside of, here are some cats, and we want to make sure that we are doing our best to care for them. And so that was like my first introduction. And then in 2013, after grad school, I found my first job with Alley Cat Allies. And I learned so much from the organization, of course, and from the work we're doing, and from all of the people who are just so passionate about caring for, especially caring for community cats, and the people who are getting up at 3, 4, 5 a.m. to go out and trap or feed a gajillion. I just have so much love and so much respect for everyone who's doing it. And their passion was really infectious. And so I bought in hook, line, and sinker, and here we are today.
So you have been out, you've been trapping, you've done various events where you've gone out and actually done the hands-on trapping, as well as also sort of being on that administrative side of things. And I know many of our listeners are very conflicted about having to sort of tend to your nonprofit house if you're part of a small nonprofit organization, and through the Community Cats Grants program, you do a lot of work there. And do you find groups have a hard time balancing between being out there doing the trapping and then also sort of managing that nonprofit?
Yeah, absolutely. In my own experience, I have found that it is a challenge to do both. And also it's different skill sets, it's different strengths, I think. And so sometimes it takes different people to do both of those things. there are some people who are just rock star trappers and they really like being out in the field and they like working with the cats and problem solving to make sure, you know, what can I do to get every last one? And that's like where they thrive. And then the nonprofit side of it, the admin side of it, that can take a different skill set. And that's someone who doesn't mind sitting maybe behind a computer for several hours a week and focusing on spreadsheets or things like that that might need to happen to keep things organized. And so I have found that very often those are not the same people. Every now and again, they can be. And it's always a miracle when you find someone who can wear all of the hats. But I think most of the time when I see it be successful, it's when you have your trappers and then you have your admin people and then they work together toward a common goal. And that's, I fulfill, I think, probably the admin side of that equation more often than not. But like you said, I have been out in the field and that's always fun, but it's probably not my strong suit.
So you are the administrator of the Community Cats Grants Program, which did live for a while at the Community Cats podcast. And then we transferred it over to the United Spay Alliance, as you transferred over there also. Tell us a little bit about the program and what's been your experience being the manager of it.
Well, I find the program to be just so cool because it's not just a check in the mail that you get to support whatever work. Not that money is bad. I don't think anyone minds getting a check in the mail. But the program is really targeted toward small grassroots organizations that probably would be overlooked in a lot of other grant cycles. And so this is one of the few programs I can think of where, you know, folks are turned away because their budget is too large. In fact, you know, we really are zeroing in on those groups that file a 990N. They have the least, they're trying to do the most with the least amount of resources, I guess. And those are the groups where we are looking to really help them build capacity. And so it's not, like I said, it's not just a check in the mail. We actually have a 3-month process of fundraising. And throughout that fundraising period, we're meeting for monthly check-in calls where we're actually, the whole group gets together. We have a cohort of about 30 or so groups each cycle, and we all get together on a call at least once a month to talk about our fundraising challenges and what's working and share ideas. And so it's this idea that no one's out there doing this work alone. Even if you feel very isolated in your community and you feel like there's no one else out there, at least once a month through this program, you get to hop on a call and realize that no, there's a lot of folks doing it. And so, and a lot of our grantees have said that's their favorite part of the program. I know it's my favorite part to participate in administratively. And then seeing the success, obviously, after that 3 months, seeing these groups hit their fundraising goal and then go, oh my gosh, I think we can do it again. I think we can do it all on our own, and building that capacity. And so being with them on that journey has been a really cool thing. It's a privilege, honestly.
Some of the questions that I have seen in the work that I've done with the University of the Pacific program, that the Community Cats program management course, certification course that I have just wrapped up with the University of the Pacific, and we're actually in our second session now, many of the students were very surprised to think that it's okay to fundraise for private practice costs of spay neuter in order to build and get to that capacity. So I would assume you probably deal with organizations that have access to either free or $50 surgeries, but then you also have organizations that may not have options to a lot of different spay neuter clinics and may have to pay a higher amount on spay neuter. I think it's okay to say, take what you can get, even if you have to pay the higher price. But I'd be curious to know what your thoughts are on that.
Absolutely. So we have heard at United Spay Alliance, we have heard that some places they're doing great. They seem to be getting back on track. They have low cost clinics in the area, appointments easy to line up. And if that's your reality, then that's fantastic. However, we do know that's not the reality for everybody. You know, we are hearing from places where they have wait lists that are 3, 4, 5, 6 months long, even today, and that those prices are going up. And not everybody has access to the same resources. And so even through the grants program, we acknowledge that what is low cost, quote unquote, to one may not be low cost to another. And that at the end of the day, the most important thing is that you're getting the cats spayed and for the purpose of the program. But truly, cats or dogs, you're getting that animal the help they need sooner rather than later. And if it means that you are paying a higher price at a private practice to get that animal spayed now versus maybe waiting for a low cost appointment to open up down the line. But by then you're going to have more puppies or kittens on your hands. And then you end up paying the same or even more than you would have paid just to have that animal spayed or neutered up front. So we see it as just time. Time is the most important thing. Sooner rather than later, prevention is key.
So why Community Cats and United Spay Alliance together? You just mentioned a little bit about spaying and neutering, and there's TNR. If there is no N, how do you do TNR? So what is the role that United Spay Alliance plays with helping us get more of those N's in there, I guess?
Yeah, it's kind of this wonderful partnership between the work that United Spay Alliance does, the work of Community Cats Podcast, and how we work with all the TNR groups out there. Anyone that's working in that spay neuter space, whatever part you have to play, because it comes down to the number of appointments that are available and being able to find them easily. And so United Spay Alliance has a lot of different programs aimed at supporting communities and helping make spay and neuter more affordable, more accessible. Right now, one of our most, I think, needed programs and something we're focusing a lot of our energy on is our wet lab program. And that's providing training opportunities for veterinarians to learn high quality, high volume spay and neuter techniques. Because we, I think, within the sheltering space have been very familiar with high quality and high volume spay and neuter. We almost take it for granted, like, of course, go to a low-cost clinic and they have all of the tools and tips and tricks that they need to make this happen. But if we take a step back, a lot of veterinarians don't have access to training in high-quality, high-volume spay-neuter. They're not necessarily learning it in vet school. They haven't had exposure to it before. I think in my anecdotal experience of working with veterinarians so far, a lot of them would love to have access to it. We have a wait list of places and people who are just clamoring to get their hands on this kind of training. But we've designed this program really to bring training to communities to provide an opportunity for vets to learn safe and efficient techniques that are going to improve their spay-neuter skills. These have been refined over decades. We know that they're safe and they are faster, not because anyone's cutting corners, but because they're just so efficient. These spay neuter techniques have been, veterinarians break it down to exactly where the animal needs to be on the table, how they need to hold their hand, what they're going to do. Every stroke is purposeful. And so no time is wasted in the entire process. And that's where the efficiency comes in. And that's where it's a safer procedure for the patient. And overall, it's better for veterinary teams. And so it's just very successful, and we hope to see more of it throughout the veterinary profession.
Yeah, the wet lab programs have been really very exciting to see develop and grow all across the country. We're probably have been in about 6 states by this point in time. What is the typical student who attends one of these wet labs?
So the cool thing is that we have a little bit of everybody. We've had like the new grads who are just young in the veterinary practice and they're excited to expand their skill set and get into it. And then we also have folks who are just in general practice and looking to sharpen their surgery skills. They are down to learn these new and these efficient techniques. And then we also have folks who are looking toward retiring or semi-retiring or shifting from working every day to maybe they're going to just step in and help a couple times a week at a local clinic. We've even had a couple equine and large animal practitioners who work on farms and then they see all these barn cats roaming around the farms that they're working on. And then they realize, hey, I would really love to be able to help them too while I'm there. And so it's really open to everybody. And that's been one of the cool things about this is to see just how many different vets and where they come from and who can benefit from this is really, I think, a much broader audience than we initially thought.
So for our listeners that are out there and maybe we're working with some veterinarians or we're trying to encourage some private practice clinics to do some TNR or at least assist with increasing their spay-neuter capacity, would you recommend we just sort of put them in touch with United Spay Alliance?
Yeah, we go where we think we will be warmly received. So it's all about we need a good place to host the clinic. And so if you have a connection with someone in the community who has that surgery suite, and we adapt to what the community has. And so if it's going to be a smaller wet lab, we've done two trainers, four trainees. So four vets who are there to learn. We've had six trainees. If you have a larger space and we can go bigger, we can go smaller. And so we are flexible as far as what that looks like. But we do need the folks on the ground are providing the clinic. They're running, getting the cats or the dogs. They're running the clinic itself. And then we are able to support and facilitate at a higher level, making sure that all those other admin components are at play. So yeah, I say absolutely. Reach out to us. Let us know that there's interest and we'll see how we can work together to make it happen.
And we do our best efforts to try and get the fundraising support for the event so that then the cost for the surgeries is a very minimal amount or even in some cases free. So that's another benefit to the community. And not only have we done these wet labs for cats, but there's also plans for doing them for dogs, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so we are looking forward to our first dog wet lab in early February, I believe, or right around the time this episode's coming out, I believe. And so we're definitely open. Cats, we all know that there's a need for cat neuters out there or cat spays and neuters. But when it comes to dogs, there's also some hesitancy in veterinarians, especially when it comes to larger sized dogs. And so we're hearing a lot that veterinarians need the confidence boost, need the tools, I guess, the tricks and tips at their disposal to feel confident doing those large dog surgeries, especially. And so we're looking forward to our first dog wet lab.
In addition to the wet lab efforts that we have going on, this is also Feline Fix by 5 Month. Now, many of the folks that are out there listening, I hope, have participated in my cat trivia. And if not, you're going to learn the answer to this question, because I often ask our audience at our certification workshops in cat trivia, what is the name of the campaign that supports and endorses early age spay neuter for cats? And that campaign is called what, Brie?
Feline Fix by 5.
And what is February? What does February mean?
Well, February is Feline Fix by 5 Awareness Month. And so happy Feline Fix by 5 Awareness Month to all who celebrate. And so the campaign really aims to build consensus among the veterinary community about the best time to spay and neuter their kittens. And because this isn't taught, there's no standard that veterinarians are being taught when they come out of vet school. Has not historically been agreement. And now if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, my shelter, my rescue, my vet will do this at 2 pounds or 2 months or much younger than 5 months. 5 months is too late. If that's what you're thinking, wonderful. We agree. Buy five is key to this. A lot of this campaign is targeted toward especially our private practice and the owned cat community, because a lot of vets will recommend to wait until even 6 months or later. There's a lot of old, I would say, information that's still circulating and still pretty pervasive throughout the vet community. But if you're listening to Community Cats podcast, I think you're very aware that kittens can have kittens as young as 4 months old. We know that cats can get pregnant and start reproducing. And so fixing before they are 5 months old cuts down on those unwanted litters. And this is a campaign to really provide the tools and information to empower veterinarians to have those conversations with their clients, talk about the best time to spay and neuter, and get more and more of those kittens spayed before there are unwanted litters.
Wouldn't it be fantastic if your whole TNR team was on the same page? Imagine your staff and volunteers mastering trapping best practices, prepping cats properly for clinic arrival, and making everyone's job easier. Would you like to give them a toolbox of tips and tricks to refer to whenever trapping gets tough? Our monthly virtual TNR workshops are perfect for group training, covering everything from TNR philosophy to planning, equipment use, public relations, because we are all going to run into those stubborn neighbors, and cat care tips, plus more. With Q&A sessions, handouts, customized content for your program, your team will be ready to successfully reduce the number of free-roaming cats in your community. Ready to turn your trappers into a team? Great! Email Stacy at communitycatspodcast.com or call 978-239-2090 for details.
Are you a proud cat parent looking for the perfect, affordable health care for your kitty? Well, look no further than the Community Cat Clinic, conveniently located in Woodstock, Georgia, just north of Atlanta, and not too far from the Tennessee and South Carolina borders. The health and happiness of all cats are the top priorities at this feline-only hospital. From preventative care, spay, neuter, and vaccines, to specialized and innovative treatments like full mouth dental, ultrasound, radio, iodine therapy, emergency blockage cases, they've got your cat's well-being covered. For the TNR community and local shelters, they offer easy-to-access, low-cost spay-neuter services and volume appointments. So if you want to do a large TNR project, this is the clinic you want to go to. It's worth the extra trip. Appointments are available most days. Check out the Community Cat Clinic online at communitycatclinic.com or visit them in person at the Walmart Shopping Center at the Shops of Trichum on Highway 92 at Trichum Road in Woodstock, Georgia. More purr, less price. In a recent study, 97% of respondents said that pets are family. Communities can play a vital role in helping to keep families together. Whether it's reuniting lost pets with their owners, donating pet supplies or funds for pet owners in need, or offering short or long-term fostering, people can help keep pets and their people together. We just have to show them how. Did you know there are resources you can use to help bring attention to the programs you offer to help them do just that? From public service announcements, short videos, printable posters, online and social graphics, and much more. Find your resources at www.petsandpeopletogether.org/campaign-resources. Hashtag be a helper. We've had a very good friend to the United Spay Alliance, Dr. Jeff Young, also known as the Rocky Mountain Vet. And he talks about how he will spay neuter kittens at 8 weeks or 10 weeks, really itty bitties. And that's totally fine with regards to feline fix by five. It's by five. It's not at five. It's by five. And so just to be clear with our listeners out there, we're not telling people to wait, but we are telling people to get their cats spayed or neutered by five, regardless of whether they are outdoor community cats or owned cats. It's our best practice that every cat should be fixed by five.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's a really good way to phrase it. Being all inclusive of all the cats and kittens in our care, 2 months, 2 pounds is great. But as long as even our own cats are being fixed by five, I mean, that alone can cut down hugely on the population of kittens that we see each year.
And I would say that Dr. Bushby, and we have a lot of his information on the United Spay Alliance website, he would even go out and say on the record that if all the private practice veterinarians and all of the spay neuter clinics that were out there did feline fix by five, we would substantially reduce the number of kittens ending up in our shelters.
100%. And so, if we are able to stay on top of the spay and neuter and make the, timeliness is key, getting them spayed and neutered at the right time, there's a chance that we would not see kitten season, at least not the way that we experience it now, for sure. And so, and wouldn't that be a better world, not having this influx of homeless kittens, but where we have more time and resources to care for the kittens who are here?
And it really seems so simple, but yet it seems also complex because it's not happening. And so we just have to make sure that there's outreach and marketing, and the website for the Feline Fix by Five program, which is a program of the United Spay Alliance. I believe there's some digital, what I'll call digital swag, that our folks could pull upon to help with community outreach.
Absolutely. FelineFixByFive.org. We have what we've called our learning library. I think we also have a marketing resources section of the website. It's all there for folks to navigate and pull from. There is a research if your veterinarian wants to see the actual data and studies that have been done on, you know, is this truly effective or are we just making stuff up because we're crazy cat ladies? No, the science is there that supports Feline Fix by Five. It's done obviously by veterinarians and researchers and not just us saying it's a good thing. And then there are marketing materials there as well. If you want to post about it on your social media accounts, there's graphics you can use, send to your friends, family. Again, celebrate February Feline Fix by Five Awareness Month. It's all there for you to use. And the biggest thing we can do is just talk about it. Make sure that folks are aware. It's amazing how often we run into people who don't know that kittens can, you know, start reproducing as early as 4 months. I mean, that is a mind-blowing fact for a lot of folks. And so I think that really puts the campaign into perspective once we're able to talk about that. And the more we can educate our friends, our family, our veterinary community, anyone who's working with our cats, I think it's just gives the campaign all the more room to grow.
We also, all the students that participate and the instructors that participate in the wet labs have access or receive a Feline Fix by Five scrub top. So everybody's able to wear their pride and their support in that program going forward in their own practices. And if your practice is interested in supporting Feline Fix by Five, I think April is like Veterinary Appreciation Week and Vet Tech Appreciation Week. And I know there is a link for Feline Fix by Five scrubs. And so if that was something that you would want to support or give as a gift to your veterinarian as a trapper, community cat trapper, instead of giving, I used to give muffins, cookies. I did fruit baskets one year around the holiday time or whatever. But if you want to show the love to your veterinary practice, it might be nice to get them some swag, some Feline Fix by Five scrub tops would be really nice. So I'll just throw that out there as an idea. I want to talk a little bit before we close out, Bree, about our state leader program and our spay neuter listings. But before I have you take a deep dive into that, during the pandemic, we lost a lot of spay neuter appointments. What was that number?
We lost 2.7 million spay neuter appointments. Staggering number.
I mean, it's unbelievable how many practices either closed permanently, closed temporarily, limited their services. We are challenged with what we call a veterinary shortage, which we were sort of talking about the challenges of getting appointments there. And so we're working through different solutions. So we have some committees. So we have I'll let you share. We have, I think, two active committees right now.
We do. And so speaking to the vet shortage, we have a vet shortage task force. And so that is, I think, just a really great cross-section of the animal welfare community. We have veterinarians on the task force. We have shelter leaders on the task force. We have other voices from throughout the animal rescue welfare community, advocates, I think a couple lawyers, policy people with different perspectives. When we come together, I think that we can all see things from slightly different angles. And so when you're able to bring a task force together like this and hear from different people who might have different approaches to the problems to find possible solutions, I think that's where we see a lot of really creative ideas happening. And so our veterinary shortage task force has been meeting to first understand the complexities of the vet profession and what this shortage really is and how it came together and who controls what. And how all of those different pieces come together. And the first thing that we learned is that it's much more complicated than we could have ever thought heading into it. And so we've been working to understand it. And as we build our understanding, we're building resources to help our community understand it as well. And then again, we're just peeling back the layers to see what is it that we can tackle next. And so we've put together, we call it our delivery systems for low-cost spay neuter, where we've put together just kind of a primer or an overview of these different, whether it's a high quality, high volume spay neuter clinic, like a brick and mortar clinic or a mobile unit, or maybe a MASH clinic approach, or maybe it's a public private partnership where you're working as a nonprofit, you're working with a clinic or a vet practice that isn't using the space on a certain day to find an opportunity that might exist to make sure that surgical suite is being used to the max as much as possible. So we have different ideas and solutions. We've talked to folks and interviewed them to try and share what they know with you so that no one's out there trying to reinvent the wheel. And so that's our vet shortage task force doing a whole heck of a lot of stuff. There's a lot of legislation involved, and I could talk about that for a whole episode, I'm sure, but I won't bore everyone with that here now. But we also have our Keeper of the Flame task force, which is newer, but it's around this idea that the spay neuter movement really kind of came and was building all of its momentum and saw so much success like in the 90s and the 2000s and just saw, I think the numbers now, this is me standing on the shoulders of folks who came before us, right? But the folks who were part of that spay neuter movement, like our founder, Esther Meckler, she saw spay neuter become this mainstream idea, saw the reduction of euthanasia in shelters by like 80%. And that number, that's like 9 million animals fewer being euthanized, which is a huge win. And suddenly shelters weren't as crowded. The focus, without that constant pressure, the focus started to shift away from spay and neuter, thinking, oh, well, we have this in hand, so now we can talk about other things. But now, especially with the pandemic, we've seen that shift a little bit. And so we need to move the conversation back to spay and neuter. We need to make sure that folks understand that spay and neuter is the most powerful tool we possess when it comes to prevention, and that we need to carry it on. And so the work started back in the 90s. And who is it today that's going to make sure that we carry that flame onward into the future and keep that focus, keep that energy going, and make sure that we're keeping the good word moving along?
Oh, yeah. And the reality is, we are never going to be done with spaying and neutering animals. We will always have, and the question is just ensuring that we are maintaining the appropriate supply and demand levels of cats that will be supporting our families that want to have cats. And so we don't want to have too many, but we don't want to have too few, because behavior gets wonky when you're at either one of those spectrums. And so we're trying to help gently really focus on having access to care be the option for our cats, and to get us to whatever that, what I call that maintenance point is, just get us to that maintenance level. And then how do we sustainably fund that on an ongoing basis? So what are the levels? We can't give it away for free all the time. So what is it that people can afford? But then how do we bridge the gap and ensure that then our families are able to get the access to the care that they need to be able to support the cats in their own communities? And so that's sort of, at the end of the day, where we're at. There's so much more to United Spay Alliance. We have our state leader program and our listings for access to low-cost spay-neuter. So if there's somebody who's new, just took the TNR certification workshop, and they're like, okay, all right, now what do I do? Where do I find a vet? How do I handle this? From United Spay Alliance's side, what should they do?
I'm so glad you asked, and welcome, new person. Okay, so first thing you can do is you can head over to unitedspayalliance.org. We have a big button on our homepage that says find low-cost spay neuter. When you go there, you'll see a big map. You can click on your state. We have a landing page for every single state, and we have a resource directory. And so that resource directory is searchable by zip code. And so it'll pull up stuff that's around you, even if it's over the state line. But it includes low-cost service providers that we could find for spay neuter. And again, what low cost means is going to be different, and we recognize that, and it's a big old gray area, but we do our best to include the services that we think people can afford. Then our directory, we've also started to include other resources like our pet food pantries or trap neuter return programs or voucher programs or anything that we think might be of help to someone who's already looking for affordable services. We have started to add the other things that we come across along the way as we're doing this research. Basically, if there's something we think is going to be helpful to someone in that area, we make sure it goes onto that landing page, it goes into the directory, because we want people to be able to find those sorts of resources easily. We're trying to minimize any potential barriers that might deter someone from, I want spay neuter, to, well, this is too hard, I'm going to give up now. And so we want people to make that call and get that appointment.
And each state has its own state leader. What do they do?
Our state leader network. Oh my goodness. I love our state leaders so much because they are our boots on the ground. They are the local connection. So United Spay Alliance acts as a national, we really lean into the alliance, right? We really like to bring people together. We build these networks. We build a task force. We like to build our little resource directories of folks, right? And so our state leader network is one of those. And so for the public, they're going to be a referral for your community. They're going to know your state and the landscape of spay and neuter and veterinary ins and outs much better than we would at the national level. And so we like to connect folks with people who actually know what's going on, have that more local knowledge. And so for the public, they can offer that support to, again, whatever barrier might be between someone in that spay and neuter appointment. We want to help get them through it and get them to that appointment. So our state leaders are critical to that, and we're so grateful to them for that. But then behind the scenes, so to speak, we are able to bring all of those state leaders together to share ideas and support one another. And we have just As an example, we have quarterly calls where we come together to talk about whatever is the most timely or pressing issues going on. We don't want anyone to have to reinvent the wheel. Again, we're all out here trying to make spay and neuter more accessible, more affordable. And so if what's working for someone over here, if it can work for someone else around the country, let's go ahead and try it. Let's share ideas. So there's no gatekeeping of information where we're concerned. We're just here trying to make sure everyone feels empowered to do what it is that they want to do, because we want to see more spay neuter. We want to see more people involved. We want to hear about more collaborations between people who are working in this space. And so we love our state leader network. It helps absolutely make our directory work. The directory is just a list of resources, but our state leaders really make it, I would say they bring it to life. They add that extra layer of personable attention when folks might need it. But then they're also our advocates and our cheerleaders out there on the ground doing the work.
United Spay Alliance is a nonprofit organization. How are these programs funded? Can foundations or folks that are really into this sort of strategic higher level thinking, is this the place for them to donate?
Absolutely. United Spay Alliance is 100% reliant on our donors and our supporters who help make all of our programs possible. As you just said, it's all about strategy. It's all about bringing people together. It's about finding solutions and being proactive to the fullest extent possible. And so if that means that in one place we're working with shelters or veterinarians to put a training on because they really need help with their community cat population, then that's what we're doing over there. And then that training might look a little different because they need large dogs over here. And our donors make it possible for us to go into communities that might not have any other training, any other resource available, where they just need that spay-neuter help. They need that capacity building to make that training possible. And other programs like it. And so absolutely, we are very grateful for our donors and our supporters.
So if folks are interested in donating, how would they do that? How do they find United Spay Alliance?
A fantastic question. Folks can go to our website. It's going to be the best place to find it. And honestly, I'm very proud of our website. We're always trying to add new and exciting information. So I definitely encourage everyone to check it out, whether you want to donate or not. But it's UnitedSpayAlliance.org. There is a big donate button in the right hand corner. So if you want to click that, we'd be eternally grateful. Thank you so much for your support. But we also have spay neuter resources. We have a training. You know, it's kind of like an online clearinghouse, I'd say, of just different resources we have found, not just our own, but we have partnered or found other folks who are out there doing cool things. And we have added those as a resource to our website because, again, we just want people to have access to the information. We have a page on our Vet Shortage Task Force. If that sounded like something you are interested in, we have a whole section of our website dedicated to that and the work that we're doing there. We have truly, there's a lot there. So I encourage you to explore. We want this information to be available. We are fully transparent about what we're doing. If we have it, we want you to have it. Again, if we can be of help, we want to help. And so you can always reach out to us at info@UnitedSpayAlliance or just Brianna@UnitedSpayAlliance. I'd be glad to help you, hear from you. And just, we want to make sure that folks feel empowered to go out and make a positive change in their communities.
Lastly, one thing we collaborate with, me as Community Cats Podcast and you at United Spay Alliance, we have the United Spay Alliance online conference that we have on an annual basis. And then we also have a series of free webinars that will be happening during the course of the year that we've collaborated on together. And so I just wanted to make sure we shared that. Some of the topics, maybe you know some of the topics that we may be covering during at least the free webinars. The conference is not until the fall, so we'll have more details on that. But we do collaborate very closely on those two events.
We do. And we're very grateful. We think of ourselves as sister organizations supporting the work of one another. And we'll publicly say thank you on behalf of United Spay Alliance to Stacy and to the entire Community Cats Podcast team. I'm very grateful. Kristen, seriously, thank you. Kristen has done a lot of work for United Spay Alliance, also behind the scenes. And so we are very grateful to her. But our webinar series, we have quarterly webinars. So we're presenting four throughout 2025. And our first one in January was about TNVR and public health. And that was presented by Dr. Bob Whedon, really bridging the connection about trap neuter return and how it impacts public health, coming at it from that standpoint. We often think of spay and neuter as a public health matter as well. It's public health for pets, as Esther has coined for our organization. And so we find that subject to be very relevant to the work that we do. And then we have some other opportunities coming up. One of our webinars actually is, Stacey, you're going to be talking about some research that you've been working on with John Boone about the way that we can think about funding community cat programs, if I have that right. And so we're very grateful, very excited to hear from you on that. We are also going to be hearing from a veterinarian who has come up with an interesting model for how she can offer low-cost services, but in that private practice setting. She has an interesting setup, I think, that a lot of veterinarians might find interesting, between creating a private practice model that can be high volume and profitable while allowing room for nonprofits and other community services for animals to work together. And so anyway, it's very exciting, and I hope you guys tune in to that. We are still getting the details confirmed, so I don't want to say too much right now.
And just always take a look on the United Spay Alliance's website, and those events will be posted right there. And they are free webinars. And so we want to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to attend these events, and that cost is not an issue. So please share wide. Join the United Spay Alliance's mailing list and really spread the love. Spread the spay neuter love, like Feline Fix by Five being February around Valentine's Day. Wow, how am I closing this podcast right out this way? Bree, any last thoughts before we close out?
I would say that if you're thinking that you're just one person, what can one person do when it comes to spay neuter opportunities? I would say you're not giving yourself nearly enough credit. We have lots of tools, ideas, resources. If you're interested, if you have a passion for this, if you think that, yes, it is the way that we are going to help the most animals and you want to participate, I encourage you to reach out to us. It all starts with an individual who says something's got to change. And so if that individual is you, we would love to connect and see what it is that we can do to support you. So thank you so much for listening to this episode, for getting to this point in the podcast. I appreciate it. And just thank you all out there listening for everything that you're doing.
And for turning your passion for cats into action. Bree, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. And I know we'll have you on again in the future. And everybody else, please consider sharing this episode with others and write a review and share. And we will see you next week.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think. And a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.